It's time to shake out your money-making truth. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have you ever wondered why some people work really hard for their money while others live lives of joy and abundance with seemingly little effort? You are about to learn powerful, tangible steps to shifting your mindset and connecting to your flow of money and abundance. Jennifer teaches you to connect to who you are at a soul level and how to use that connection to create a personal and specific relationship with money. Learn how money is a powerful tool to achieve your desires and your desires to then serve the world. So shake out your money-making truth right now. Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm Jennifer Bloom, host of Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health here on Transformation Talk Radio. And as always, I am delighted to be here. I'm delighted to have my guest, and I'll get to her in just one moment. And thrilled that you are choosing to spend your time here with us, learning how to do money, how to do soul in a little bit different way, to really begin to intersect money and soul in ways that maybe we haven't before, right? It's so much easier to create lasting peace and abundance when you are creating out of soul rather than when we create out of our money wounds, our money pain, past beliefs. And of course, we all do it. Even those of us who know better, we do that from time to time, but it's a matter of really being able to recognize it and shift and get back into consciousness. And, you know, I've been really concentrating on developing and connecting with my soul money relationship recently. Of course, it's the work that I do, but I've really been working on deepening that connection. And the thing that I've noticed is that in order to really get that nice, strong connection, you have to root your beliefs in soul. And maybe that sounds a little bit odd, but you know, it's like gravity, right? You can't just sort of use gravity. It's here whether we want it or not. And soul's the same way. We tend to like dip our toes in and say, well, I might believe this part of universal law, or maybe I'll believe that about universal law. But when we really allow ourselves to wholeheartedly step in and live from the knowing of soul, wow, that's when that lasting peace comes, when that lasting abundance comes. And this is such a big topic that I want to tell you about a couple of resources before we dive into our topic today. So the next podcast, I'm actually going to do a solo show. Haven't done one of those in a really long time, but I'm going to be talking about the soul money relationship and how it's different from an analytical relationship and why you might want to do one or the other. And then I'm also going to do a series on Instagram and Facebook. So again, detailing the differences. So if you want a little bit more information, you can follow me. I'm at soul.abundance on Instagram, and I'm soulabundance on Facebook. So just another couple of ways to really start to deepen your understanding. Now, money isn't the only thing that benefits, obviously, when we lead from soul. And that's why I am delighted to have my guest here today, because we're going to really dive into the topic of soul and business. What happens in business when we lead from soul? What happens personally when we lead from soul? So here we are. And of course, I asked you about pronunciation, and now I've got like three things in my head. I don't know what it is.
Stefan?
Yeah, so my guest today is Priscilla Stefan. I got it right when I asked you, and then I went... I don't remember.
So, 'cause I confused you.
Well, as I said, my dad's name is Stephen, spelled this way, and the way you spell anyway. So, Priscilla, I'm delighted that you're here. You know, okay. You have an incredible body of work with your Soul Fluent Leadership Archetypes, which really give a beautiful practical way of understanding soul and our individual leadership style. And so I'm going to leave the intro at just really short and sweet, because there's so much to talk about. And in a little bit, I'll have you share a little bit more about yourself and where people can find you. But let's dive into talking about soul and business, shall we? Yeah.
Juicy stuff. Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. So tell me a little bit about how you got here, right? Because there are a lot of us who are self-development junkies, and we talk about soul and blah, blah, blah. But how did you get here? How did you get to knowing that you were here to bring soul into business and leadership?
Completely by accident, multiple, you know, dark nights of the soul, eye rolls. What the fuck? What am I thinking? I curse. I'm former New Yorker living in California. Like, how the hell did I get here? I could not have imagined this path in my wildest dreams. I went through three very complicated career changes. I was an environmental advocate for 10 years, have a graduate degree in that, burned out on that. Did 5 years of event planning, started a fashion jewelry business. That didn't go far. And then stumbled upon health coaching in the hopes of overcoming my own relationship with emotional eating and food, and started coaching people on their health until the moment that the sea parted, when I uncovered this magical place called the Akashic Records, where you get to connect with your own soul guides that allow you to live your best life with the energy of truth and love and purpose. And I became a practitioner, learned how to read my own Akashic Records and then the Akashic Records of others, and uncovered an uncanny ability to really connect to people's businesses from their own soul guides and help them truly live their purpose through their businesses, and to do it with soul and practical strategy. And then ultimately uncovered my ability to download marketing plans and very complex, dense bodies of work, which is how the Soul Fluent Work came about in 2016.
And here you are.
And here I am. Holy shit.
Yeah. So, okay. So this is sort of a side question, but have you found that your health has changed since you have started following more of your own soul wisdom?
Not sure about that. Maybe it's because I've been in my 40s and a lot of shit happened. Autoimmune, hypothyroidism, now hormone imbalances, panic attacks. I don't know about that.
Perimenopause is not fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say that living with soul has definitely allowed me to stay ridiculously honest with myself about what I want, what I don't want, what my ego wants, what is true for me, and and it is a path to greater health, because I realized that doing things the old way led to burnout twice, pretty bad actually. And so it's that invitation, I think. Leading and living with soul is a daily reminder and invitation to choose ease, to choose flow, to choose health and well-being, because your soul never will ever ask anything of you that will harm you.
Right. Right. And that process, I was just writing about this actually to a group of mine this today, that, you know, even when we choose to align with soul, it isn't always sunshine, roses, lollipops, and fairies, because when we make that choice to align, what isn't aligned starts falling away. And sometimes that process isn't very pretty. Right.
It's all fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Let's just say it that way. And so I think that sometimes when people start down the path of getting in alignment with themselves, things get messy. And then the question is like, why am I doing this? Is this really, how is this really helping me? Right. You know, so it mess comes before that ease and flow and all of the things that we seem to be reaching for.
Yes. And sometimes we get the message soon, so we don't have to get the ton of bricks in our head. And sometimes the ton of bricks just falls, and that's what it takes to get our attention, which is fine.
Yeah, it is. It's all okay. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So you have this great big download. And so tell me a little bit about the download that you got about the archetypes.
Well, my guides are sneaky. And so they told me to write an outline for a book that turned into an outline for three books. And then they just said, just start writing. I thought, oh, this is going to be like a 20-page little book. 160 page later, you know, and a body of work later, I'm like, what the hell is this? So I didn't know what I was downloading at all. I had no idea, which led to a massive breakdown, nervous proportions. And I really didn't know what to do with it because I was like, I don't understand leadership. I don't want to be talking about this and archetypes. What the hell? You know, like this is complex, dense information. How am I going to explain this to people? So I had a massive tantrum because like you get this work and then you're like, how am I supposed to market it? Explain it, help people with this. I don't know. And it's a daily thing of like, I don't know how to do this. But I knew that if I didn't do it, I would regret it. And I knew that I would grow as a result of befriending this work that I really didn't kind of sort of resisted greatly doing. And so now 4 years later, it has shaped who I am and has helped me understand the six or seven different phases of what I call the leadership evolution, from an awakening to those dark nights of the soul, which for me lasted about 18 months to almost 2 years of questioning everything, thinking I was a loser, having to redefine my identity with myself because I felt like my work was so much of who I was. And if I wasn't attached to work or this, like, who am I? But then coming out of it, it really gave me peace and strength because I was consciously choosing to lean into this work and to choose it, not from a place of ego or how much money can this make or how big can this business be, because it can go so big. I was like, no, let's. And so it was really that soul. It was like a soul wash cycle. I've never put it that way. I went through the rinse and repeat. And it wasn't delicate. It was heavy duty.
And I've seen the machine like tumble, you know, when you get the, when things are like out of balance. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it shook really badly. Yeah. And so, but it has been incredible to see myself and how it's changed me and understanding myself, that I don't have to work so hard. I don't have to try so hard as a mystic archetype, of which is there are five main archetypes in this work: the mystic, the visionary, the strategist, the explorer, and the divine feminine. And while we have all of these archetypes within us, there's a dominant archetype that really takes center stage, almost like shifting gears in a car, that helps you like really move best with the greatest amount of ease and potency at a particular phase in business and phase of your life. And so I'm a mystic, which means I channel shit, I hold space for people. And that means that people in my space just transform. So good news, I don't have to do as much as most people tell you you have to do. I just need to stay focused and in my own lane. And so this work can be really, really potent and in highly enriching.
Mm-hmm. So as people understand their main archetype, what starts to change?
There's like a sigh of, oh, okay, permission, I think, is the first one. Permission to stop trying so hard, permission to stop trying to fit in and be someone that they're not in order to succeed, permission to stop doing as much and focus on what they're really, really good at. Permission to have more spaciousness and more fun and to be, quote unquote, what I love, my favorite word, lazy. And then permission to really geek out and have fun playing with the particular gifts that come from your archetype. In my case, as a mystic, our dominant gifts are intuitive, creative, and healing. And also what comes from it too, I think, is more compassion from the understanding of our shadow, right? Each archetype has its, what I call, kryptonite. And for the mystic, it's certainly self-doubt. I'm not good enough. I'm not ready enough. I need five more certifications before I can make money, or making money isn't spiritual, or I should give my gifts away, and all those things. And so really understanding that I can really doubt myself, but you know, it's okay to be true to myself. And the other part of the mystic is that it can be really hard for us almost to go through this kind of coming out of the spiritual closet thing. Cause you know, what are people going to think, and family and friends, and how do I put that into a business and have people pay me? And so really giving ourselves the space to know that that is part of the soup, but you don't need to live in the soup. And just be yourself. And that's easier said than done sometimes. It can be very, very liberating so much space.
You know, as a fellow mystic, I am just like, my whole body's going, yeah, I get it. Again, I recognize all the phases in my life that I've been through with all of this. And, you know, the money languages for me came through in, was it 2014? And it's now 2021. And I'm finally really talking about it. It took a long time for that body of work to really settle. And for me to go, who am I to do this? Who am I to do this work? Right. But a couple of things that you said that I really want to touch on, and one of which is the shadow side. I think we all love taking the quizzes. I know I certainly do, and learning about who we are and those elements of soul. But knowing the shadow side of that is, I shouldn't say it this way, but I'm going to, almost even more powerful at times in our life, because when we get caught up to know that self-doubt is the shadow side of mystic, if I could like put that on a post-it note somewhere, maybe all over my house, then there gets to be a trigger, right? So instead of it being a character flaw or a soul flaw, right? It's like we're putting these dark marks against ourselves. Oh, I'm not confident enough. I'm not this. Why can't I just come, you know, just bring it all out there and do everything? Understanding that shadow side is touching, it gives us the opportunity to take a breath and use it to say, okay, it's time to reconnect here. That's all that's happening, right? All I need to do is just reconnect and give myself the space to do that. And maybe, just maybe, there's something else that's ready to blossom here. The self-doubt is highlighting something that's ready to be brought to the surface to teach or share. Do you find that as well?
I think that is a wonderful approach, and just permission to know that we're not broken, that there's nothing wrong or to fix, you know, because otherwise we can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to fix the problem when it's just like, look, sometimes this can come up, and look, here's a different question to say, okay, is this really true? Do I really need more? Am I ready to give it a try? And oftentimes it's just, we're afraid, you know, we're afraid of what people being rejected or ridiculed or misunderstood, right? And so oftentimes I think that self-doubt can, and sometimes it can also be, well, I actually do need to hire someone to help me with my messaging, or I don't know my packages, or maybe I do need to see, to understand why something like this, or this package, for example, can be this price, and how do I convey that, you know, in language, you know? And so there's the practical and there's the mindset piece, which is fine.
Absolutely. Right. And we get to weave all of that together. Right. And when we can really solidify our understanding of who we are, it's a lot easier to say, okay, is it a mindset piece? Is it something that I can handle myself? Is it something that I want to reach out to somebody? Is it time for a new layer of growth? Or is it time to get super practical and learn how to take these skills and tools that I have and speak them in a way that people are really going to be able to understand?
Yeah.
So, okay. So another thing that I'm curious about is, how do you find knowing your leadership style, how does it change personal life? Not just, you know, we tend to talk business, and of course this is a money show, so we tend to talk a lot of business here, but personally, I think it has a huge impact as well.
It does. I think it speaks to confidence. I think it really speaks to one of my new favorite phrases is staying in your own lane, that you're not comparing yourself. And you also like, this is me, this is my jam, this is how I roll, however, you know, whatever expression, like, I know I'm a mystic. And there is so much power and confidence in knowing that my strengths are my superpowers. Truly, I know superpower gets used a lot, you know, but it really is my innate ability to create deep transformation. And the tools allow me to feel very fulfilled in what feels like a purpose-driven life. And that means that I use my intuition, I use my skills in the Akashic Records, I use my tools to ask questions, to just listen with no judgment and let people come to their own answers and go, oh, wow, like that's deeply transformational. Or I can have an insight or say something. And it's just like, oh, yes. And so it gives me the confidence to know that I already have baked into me everything I need to be incredibly potent and successful and therefore abundant. And so it's about, okay, what am I like? I love how you said reconnect. How am I tapping in and living from the energy of my strengths? And so that I can, you know, allow that to be really showcased and highlighted in my packages and my messaging and in how I position myself. And that those gifts are actually being applied and integrated in everything I do. You know, all my work is based on the channeling and the holding space. I'm not a course creator. I don't like stuff content. Like, that's not my model, you know? And also trusting that for me, I love to do high touch, you know, in-depth work. And that's just how I roll. And so that means that all that spinning, wondering, guessing, doubting, figuring out goes out the window. I'm like, okay, this is me. How can I optimize, get the most juice out of this and enjoy this and trust that this is plenty for someone? And here's the thing for the mystic. Once we learn to trust ourselves and our intuition more, which is a gradual practice daily, what we find is that we have so much more permission to just be ourselves, like just whatever is, you know, be in the moment without having to plan or, you know, overthink, you know, because we're like, no, in the moment, I'm going to trust the energy. I'm going to trust what comes out of me and it's going to be great. And that's enough.
Yeah. And it's magnetic. I think that, right, that when we know it and we know it's enough and we stand in that space, it's absolutely magnetic to those who resonate, right, with this kind of approach. Yeah. So, okay. So not to turn this into the mystic show. So let's, yeah. Can you share a little bit more about the other, you listed all of the other archetypes, but can you say just a little blurb about each one so that people can maybe recognize, and I know you have a quiz, right? It is in the show notes. But since we're talking about it, can you tell people how to find the quiz so they know who they are?
You can go to PriscillaStephan.com. It's right there on the homepage, or PriscillaStephan.com/quiz. In 3 minutes, it'll give you your dominant, the archetype that you've been leading from. And then if you opt in, you'll get the archetype, free archetype guide and more questions and information to support you in integrating your archetype moving forward. So the mystic is, dominant gifts are intuitive, creative, and healing, and they're here to elevate consciousness and create harmony and well-being. The kryptonite is self-doubt, and the way to move past that is really being authentic and trusting your gifts. There's the visionary, who's here about disrupting the status quo and really creating more efficient systems that create a better world. And the kryptonite at that is trying to fit in. And the key there is to be vulnerable and ask for support and not do everything yourself. Then there is the strategist that is here to, they're data and processes driven. Think of people in science, academia, finance. My husband is a software engineer. Like, think of like really people that streamline really complex data and information and streamline in the way that we can really understand them. Their kryptonite is also self-doubt. And the key to that is to really trust their creative solutions. Then we have the explorer. Everyone loves the explorer. Explorers are all about possibility. Think of like Richard Branson, about possibilities, dreamers, connectors. And they love people and they live experientially. They live and lead, they go out and try things right away. They, if you know, if the mystic is, I don't know about this, explorer's like, how quickly can I dive into this? Their kryptonite is, just being a little bit too heady and feeling disconnected. And so it's really important for them to have a tight inner circle. And then there is the divine feminine that's all about creating and leading collaboratively through community and through equity. So I'll stop there.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Okay. So do you find that when people take the quiz, do they tend to have to blow up their business models, or is it more about tweaking?
It's more tweaking than they would imagine. And then it's just about really honing in on their strengths and creating a business model that truly reflects their cycle of business and season in life, you know, because sometimes it's not just about growing or expanding. Sometimes it's about downsizing or simplifying. The people that I work with, they want one thing, spacious growth.
Oh, that's a fantastic phrase. I am going to borrow that. Spacious growth. Because I, you know, there's so many times when the hype comes in and says, you need to create this much, there needs to be this much money, or you need to touch this many people, or you need to have this and you need to have that. And that just makes me sit in my chair. And if I'm not crying, I'm just like, I don't even know where to start. right? But that idea of creating growth in such a way that it allows me to be the mom that I want to be. I've got adult kids, but I'm right still mothering, and I've got, you know, my dog and my three cats that I regular mother, right? So I get to express that piece of myself, and I get to be in relationship with my husband in a different way, and I get to disappear out into nature the way that I need to recharge. Holding space for deep transformation takes a lot of recharging for me. So that spacious growth is really beautiful.
Yeah, it's the people I work with. They are deeply committed to their work, but their work is a part of their life. It is not their life.
Yeah. Love that. Love that. Okay. So we've done a lot of chatting about the big picture view, and we're going to go to break here soon. But when we get back, we are going to step into the practical, and I've been looking forward to this so much. we are going to, when we come back, we are going to do a little mini session for each other. I'm going to identify one of your money languages, and we'll talk about what that means. And then, which is money languages, is one more tool, right, to understand who we are and how our soul loves to express. And you're going to share another archetype for me, right? So I can't wait. I think we'll start with you since we've been talking that, and then we'll finish with the money languages. But sure. Fantastic. All right. So you all are here and you're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance on Transformation Talk Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're getting practical. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let the journey begin.
Listen up. The wealth you receive is a result of your personal relationship with the soul of money, meaning your spiritual well-being affects your ability to create abundance. Jennifer Bloom works with people to mend the spiritual disconnects that block up the cash flow. How's your relationship with yourself? Are you in balance with the divine? I know, these are big questions, but there are answers. Take Jennifer's free money relationship quiz to learn where you need to focus your energy and watch yourself grow into the abundance you deserve. Trust the divine. Learn to receive. You are worthy of all the wealth you seek. Visit jenniferbloom.com and click on the purple banner to take the free money relationship quiz. That's Jennifer Bloom, BLOOME.com.
Thank you for listening in on Eye of Soul Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, psychic medium Jamie. Return next time for an empowering and yet chilling look into the raw side of spirit. For more information about myself and the Eye of Soul, visit eyeofsoulradio.com. That's Eye of Soul Radio. Eye of Soul Radio, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com. See you next time.
Get empowered.
Back on Soul Wisdom Abundance with me, your host Jennifer Bloom, and my guest Priscilla Steffen. And we have been talking about archetypes, we've been talking about soul, we've been talking about a lot of big picture things, and now it's time to get practical. So we are going to each take a turn and do what we do best, and talk about, in your case, the archetypes for me, and then I've identified one of your money languages. So I am going to yield the floor to you, and you let me know where you want to start, and I'm an open book, happy to answer whatever question, however you do your process, I'm happy to share whatever. So
yeah, so let's see the archetypes in motion. So guys, when Jennifer took the quiz, she came up as a mystic, which is how she has been running her business, right? Using her intuitive, creative, healing abilities. However, when I went into her Akashic Records yesterday, I was told that her new, the new dominant archetype for her is the strategist. The strategist, again, really creates, streamlines processes and systems, and really simplifies complex concepts and data into very easy to digest information that can really change, drastically change the life of millions of people. And so that was really the key. And so then I also identified the secondary and the third. I think the secondary was to stay with the mystic. And then the third was to really live with the visionary, which is about really making a bold stand about what you do and really leveraging the business even more. Not that the strategist doesn't. And so really when I think of, you know, when you shift gears in this, what this means is like, how does this impact your message, your business model, your marketing, specifically how you're running your business, and in your case as a team, because strategists really, they don't always like to be the front of the business. And so they really know, and they're designed to work well with teams to really get the support, right? They do their thing, you stay in your lane, and then you get the rest of the people to finish the process along, almost like an assembly line, you know, like you do your thing and then you hand it off. So, you know, distribution, fulfillment, what have you. So as you're thinking about a project right now, is there anything where you're like, well, how can I apply the strategist? And let me open your records as you're thinking about that to see if there's any actual guidance in particular.
Okay? Oh, wow. Gosh. Okay.
Yep. All right. Records are open. So any questions you have?
Super. Okay. So this makes complete sense, because I'm really at a point where I've done a lot of downloading, done a lot of work, and now it's time to really present it in a way that can be used, right? It doesn't really mean anything if it's just sort of all in the big picture, right? So, you know, I think that I'm really transitioning. I'm writing a book around the concept of being prosperous. I've done a lot of work on the other half of my business, which is fertility work, on being fertile and putting together a system that way. And so I guess just any additional information about turning something into bite-sized chunks, right?
Yeah. So the first thing I'm hearing is don't reinvent the wheel. So when I opened your records, what they said was go gangbusters. Like, you're ready to really let some of the stuff that you've already been working on for a long time. Like, there's no, you know, simmering, like the turn off the heat, like go eat the food, you know?
Yeah.
So the other steps were, remember to consolidate, package, and simplify. And in terms of the bite-sized pieces, what I'm sensing here is that you already have your system, you already have your process. And so really what's key for strategists is to really, you know, I like to think of flow diagrams. You know, here's your starting point, here's point A. And then this is step one, step two, step three, step four. It's really visually and systematically showing, breaking it down almost in like six-year-old steps if need be, and to really show the flow from here's the start of the journey and here's how you end it, and not to be afraid to really lead with, oh gosh, you're supposed to be paying me for this, but here's what I'm showing you, you know, from the get-go in your marketing, in your sales page, like, because strategists have very creative solutions that are unorthodox at times, and how they tell, and I know this because your fertility is both the practical but also the energetic component, right?
Right.
That's what makes it so special. So trusting that is going to be key, and leading with that and illuminating how that is different, helpful, better, more, can provide greater results. And so not being afraid to really visually showcase, like, this is what's possible. This is what most people tell you, you know, fertility can give you. And there's a specific thing here for fertility for a reason. And so, you know, what have people tried? What hasn't worked? And why is this helpful? And really giving people that behind the scenes look of what is available to them can, because then they can start to connect the dots and to see how they can get from point A to B. And it's really, strategists are incredible teachers, right? Show them, teach them, guide them through the process. You're holding their hand every step of the way, and remind them that it's, no matter how hard it's been, how complicated it seems, that if you just follow the steps, it will work for you if it feels like the right approach. Does that make sense?
It does. And so here's where I get stuck. So moving like between mystic and strategist, right? For me, mystic is, again, that very high touch, deeply transformational, highly personal. And I can recognize, I can pull out the steps that I'm doing, but again, it feels very individual approach. The strategist comes, you know, to really lean on that strategist that says, put together the strategy. My brain wants to say, well, it's not just one way, right? There's these, all of these steps, and where's the individual component? So how can I help that part of my brain understand the strategist in a new way?
Here's the thing. You can think of the strategy or as a process. You can call it a system or a paint by numbers. In the sense, it's just like, there are certain steps that you, for example, someone's going through fertility that they will likely have to go through, right? Mm-hmm. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Right? It's just, like the process is the process. It's like going through a cleanse. You need to pre-detox, you go through the cleanse. Like the process will not change. Trusting that the container is spacious enough and that the process is spacious enough that people will be guided and with your help to make tweaks as need be. But the backbone, I'm being shown, like really, truly, the spine is the system, right? The spine is the process. And then you can let each person, like each person has a spine, but they still have an individual body and their own rhythms. So you can still be incredibly high touch and allow people to go at it at their own pace and to be high touch and loving on them while you are both on the same path of this is the lane, this is the spine of it. Let's just work the plan will work for you. And if you need to make some tweaks, you can, but other than that, they're good. Does that make sense?
It really does.
It's a yes and.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. So that makes a lot of sense why I've also had this pull, and the brand new thing that I'm creating on the money side is a year-long transformational container. And there are individual steps to go through within that container, and yet there's room for what each person needs, right? To be
tons
in that container.
It's spacious, systematic, spacious, strategic growth.
Spacious, strategic growth. Again, that spacious growth that I love so much in the first half of this conversation.
And it's that dance between, you know, having, with structure comes flow, with structure comes spaciousness, right? Because the structure keeps you focused. And with that focus, now there's room to make it your own, to tweak it, to really integrate it. You're not just kind of flying by the seat of your pants. Like here's the spine, right? The spine keeps us upright, keeps us going. That's the same thing. Like the journey that you've outlined works. And that goes the same for whatever it is that you've outlined for the money. I think it's pretty much there. Minor adjustments, but I think it's really great and very needed.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And just to wrap it around, just going back to the general, right? Archetypes don't give us it's not the full, how do I want to say this? You know, we all bake, we all cook, there's a recipe, but it's not so regimented, right? It's like there's a little pinch of this and a little pinch of that, but that structure, when you know your structure, then everything that's flowing from you really can make a lot more sense, both to yourself and to the people that you're serving, right?
And the structure builds trust that the people know where you're guiding them. And it's not like, oh, it's a system, like I'm a guru and, you know, you follow my system. No, it's a guiding through a journey, right? Like when you go on a travel trip, like a guide. And so the structure creates trust, it creates space, and it creates an allowance for people to find their own answers. Because it's like kind of like with a child, I'm being told, like if you give them boundaries and, you know, those things, then they can really maximize each phase of the day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Free spirit isn't those boundaries are really important, right? You know, and even if I think about when I do individual transformational work with people, there's the structure and the boundaries are very present. You know, we're not dumpster diving into the past to clear everything. We're very systematically choosing what it is that we're looking at to transform, right? So there's that structure even within something that feels like, oh, it could go a million different directions.
Yeah, but there's still a process. Another word to think about, there is a process.
Right.
So even with your soul money work, there is a process, right? You're like, there's the, let's get through the money story, the money beliefs, there's that, and here's the line. Like, there is a process. So all it is follow the process that's innate to you, that's intuitively guided and intuitively downloaded, and trust the process by not arguing or fighting with it.
Don't battle it. Accept it. Okay. Well, there's the
trap. Well, yeah. Really bring the abundance and the magic and the gold. The gold is in the process, is really the key. And then you can go tweaking, right? Because strategists, it's not just a one and done. Strategists are always refining and tweaking and making better. But this is not to go and go, oh, I got to keep training forever. Just like, oh, I just had an insight. Okay, I'll just add this, or I'll shorten this module, or I'll add this little thing. But you know, once you have it, go with it.
Beautiful. Oh my goodness. Thank you. Well, you know, I'm watching our time. I want to make sure that I have enough time to receive, or for you to receive as well. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Wonderful. And just to let people know, this, the work that you're doing is something that you're sharing with me generously, is something that you usually do do you do this with your roundtable clients?
Yes, roundtable. The next one is April 9th for 6 women. And we identified that next money-making step in your business and how to do it through your leadership archetype and identify if your archetype has changed from the quiz. So yeah, it's very tangible and deep and rich. So
yeah, beautiful, beautiful. And they can find that at PriscillaStephan.com. Is that where they can find information?
/roundtable. If they want to go straight to the roundtable. Yeah.
Super, super. Okay, great, great. Anything else you'd like to share about how people can find you? And then we'll switch gears here.
I'm on Instagram, I think Priscilla Stephan, and then Facebook, Priscilla Stephan 2. And I think that's all for now. And I also want to say that when you join the roundtable, you also get the 60-page business guide blueprint on how to integrate your archetype into 9 core areas of your business: branding, business model, content creation, so much more. So you get so much out of it. I mean, it's just magic, is the way I can put it.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, it really sounds very juicy. Very juicy. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Okay. So I'm going to encourage all of you to take a look at Priscilla's site, her and all of her different resources. She's got a lot of really wonderful things to share. And with that, we're going to turn the tables here.
Yay!
Okay, so for those of you who've been listening for a while, you know about soul money languages. But for those of you who don't know, this is work that is through the soul language paradigm. And this paradigm says that there are 107 different voices of soul. They are broken into a mission language, a skills and tools language, and a soulful personality. And when we come to the planet, we choose one out of each of those categories. So we bring 3 of the voices of soul with us as part of who we are. And then we also, with any relationship that we have, we draw 3 more energies out of those 107 different energies to support us. And so those languages can be identified as well. And so if you have your relationship with your significant other, your relationship with your business can be identified, your relationship with the community that you serve can be identified. And these are all just ways that we can understand more about who we are and why you know, why we prefer certain things over others, where our shadows are, and all of that. So what we're going to do today, and typically we do personal languages first and then the money languages, but because we're having a money conversation today, we are going to talk money languages. So the way that I identify is I make a one-time connection to your soul, and I did this before, I had your permission, so I did this before we, so we don't have to go through the process here on the show, but I make a one-time connection with your soul, and I muscle test out of the 107 languages, which are yours. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this isn't me going through the book saying, oh, this sounds like Priscilla. This is your soul is telling me. I also asked which category would be most helpful for our conversation. So with money, the categories are just a little bit different. You can think of it as the mission language is your co-creation with money, your shared mission. The second language, which is what you and I will talk about here in a moment, is the energetic how. So what's the behind the scenes? What's the energetic work that you're doing to allow money to be created? Right. Then the third category is the being state. What type of being state allows money to flow most easily for you? So what I will do is I'm going to give you the name of the language. And please remember, and as you know, with your work with this, we're putting language to the intangible. So please listen as a whole. Different words have different connotations. So try hard not to listen and, like, for example, my personal language is capitalist. Ooh, there's a lot of connotations with that word, right? So just listen as a whole. I will tell you what the particular talents of this language are, as well as what you would notice if you were out of alignment or in the shadow side. So I will present it, and then we'll talk about it on the other side here, okay? All right, so for you, your axiom of translation, the skills and tools, the energetic how for money is called constable. The sacred partnership, this sacred partnership money language's skill to create money is by bringing a deep sense of peace regarding the flow of money into your daily life. This language helps you speak the language of peace and money so that you have a fluid experience of money. Your energetic how of making money then is to make peace with your current financial picture of what you want to create and making peace with where you want to go. So the special talents of Constable, you are able to feel the deep peace of money. And this is not about safety, okay? It's not about creating safety. It's literally the peace that comes in this energetic flow. And you can lead yourself and others towards peace in their relationship with money. When you are out of alignment with this particular energy, you can end up finding a couple of different things happening. You focus on control of money rather than peace of the relationship. You decide how money must be in your life in order to have peace and are constantly checking in and seeing how money is not fulfilling the structure. You fight to maintain a relationship with money. You control others with money. You judge yourself in relationship to money.
I had no idea. Of course I do all of that.
So I'll pause there and just, yeah, tell me what resonates as you digest that for a moment. And then we're going to meet the language.
All of that, because that part of me that wants to control is like, but I don't accept easily where I want. I want to feel like, and there's tons of flow and there's tons of abundance, but I'm still kind of working to that place where I, because here's a disconnect for me, right? In the abundance world of like, you can manifest money in your sleep whenever you want. Like you can make money, you know, there's no, and then I was like, well, if that's true, then when it doesn't happen as quickly or even in the amount that I want, I feel like there's something disconnected and there's something wrong with my ability to be in relationship with money. And I'm like, what's off? And so that's what happens.
Yeah. And so here's the thing though, you know, the manifestation world is missing a few pieces, I think. And one of them is some of the characteristics of money. And part of money's characteristics is there's ebb and flow. right? It's very much this natural ebbing and flowing, ebbing and flowing, ebbing and flowing. And yes, we can ebb and flow between scarcity and not scarcity, or we can ebb and flow between really lovely flourishing abundance and sumptuous abundance, right? We can kind of shift where we fall, but there's always going to be a flow, that there's that natural energy. And so with Constable, you get to lean on Constable to feel peace no matter where that flow is.
My mind is going, but I want more.
Mm-hmm. So what do you get to let go of so that wanting more isn't a battle and it's an acceptance? Well, I'll leave it that, I'll just put the dot at the end of the sentence there, and that it becomes acceptance of, yes, I'm ready for more.
I like that. And then I was like, well, but can I really trust that? Because I feel like I have to fight for it somehow.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do this. I don't want to open something we can't finish, but let's do this. Go ahead and close your eyes for a second. Take a nice deep breath. And then we're going to ask divine intelligence to create a conscious connection between you and the energy of Constable. And tell me when that feels present.
Okay.
So what do you notice in your body when you tune into this energy of Constable?
It feels like we're like a T, like it just went down like a well, like it's just anchored, like anchor in. Like
beautiful.
Solid.
Yeah. So what does this energy want to share with you about what it could feel like to not battle? It's sort of a double negative here. What does it feel like to connect and invite and allow that next level instead of fighting for it?
It's already here. That's what it yeah. feels like. So there's nothing, it's almost like you're going like, well, what's the point of doing this? You can keep expanding energy. It's not going to,
that's right.
It's a spinning wheel. No.
Exactly. Yeah. Because the battle actually is resistant. It resists it, or it creates dissonance, right? Between you and the flow. So I gotta keep going, I gotta push. All that does is it's like it's expanding the bubble that keeps the money out here, right? So when we can be in that place of peace about, all right, what's the next ring out? What's the next ring out of what I want? And if I were to stand in that ring and be peaceful, what does that feel like? What does that look like? How can I lean on my own skills when I get out to that point? Okay. So
love it.
Yeah. other questions. So what else comes up as a question, and anything else come up as a question?
Does the Constable have like a, I think this is me fighting again, like a way to speed up or maximize manifestation of money, or like any superpowers to like, you know, is it just to expand the receiving, or just to deepen in the piece of it?
Okay. So here's the image that I see. So it gives a place, it creates the container to be filled. So in the battle, it's like you're taking your container and moving it over here, and then like digging your well over here. Oh, and then digging the well over here. Right. Constable superpower in your language, right, is to say, here is the well. And yeah, it could get filled like this, or it can be filled like this, or it can be filled like this, but I'm here ready, open-hearted, right, ready to receive. So in that piece, you're creating your container.
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. So let's just say thank you. In a session, we would spend a little bit more time, clearly, within the energy. And what I'm going to invite you to do is, these are living, breathing energies. You can connect in and ask whatever questions that you want. So you can, when you have your whole stable of languages, you get to meet them as a team and ask questions. And there's, depending on how you get energy, you might get it, you know, you've clearly got it kinesthetically, that feeling. Other people, you might have an image, a vision or a sound or just a knowing. But keep talking to Constable, ask questions. And when you're in that fight zone, ask Constable maybe even to give you a physical sign, like a tap on the shoulder that says, the container's here, drop the gloves, right?
Oh, I like that. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's say thank you to Constable, let Constable go. And we're going to go ahead and wrap up our conversation today. It has been a joy, Priscilla, to have you here. Thank you so much for your wisdom that you shared with all of us, for the specific message that you shared with me. That was very fun. I really, and not just fun, but truly I've got like, whole page of notes. So thank you for your wisdom and sharing everything. And I am, as I said before, I encourage all of you who are listening to check out the roundtable, to check out the quiz, and begin to really get another way to structure your understanding of who you are and how you get to lead yourself and your life. And with that, we will go ahead and wrap up. You will find Soul Wisdom Abundance here the first and third Fridays of every month. As I said, the next Friday that I'm on, there will be a solo show all about the difference between taking a soul approach to money versus an analytical approach and how adding soul can create lasting peace and abundance. So until then, everyone, take great care, prosperous blessings, and I'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit JenniferBloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.